चबिहारे गोपी जन बहल गिरबार हारे गोपी जन बहल गिरबार हारे यशोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन शारी यमुना तीरवनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhavraj Kacharasthotir Satishri Shimnas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Gaur Premananda All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga Namo Vishvaraya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Gaur Vani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatari Sarne Oh, Hare Krishna Wonderful to see so many fine devotees here in the temple room and such a beautiful festival, beautiful outfits. Once again, our pujaris and decorators and dressers have just outdone themselves. Today is, of course, Chandanyatra, which is a day when the deities are covered in sandalwood. And this is a traditional festival that's been held in India for hundreds of years. I'll tell just a little bit about that. It's also the Mango Festival, which... In all my years of being a devotee, this is my first one. I don't know. Anyway, new tradition, Mango Festival. Sounds good to me. Who doesn't like a Mango Festival? Okay, but the Chandanyatra and the flower is very, very traditional. Been done in India for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And of course, the whole thing about sandalwood, why are they covered with a sandalwood? Well, sandalwood is very cooling. And as you may have noticed, July in Florida is rather warm, and the summertime in India is even warmer, right? So, well, I give up. Basically, there's one other thing that's very important that I also want to talk about today, and that is that this is the 60th anniversary of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York City in July, I think it's July 13th or something, of 1966. So this is the 60th anniversary, and there's lots of big celebrations. New York's having this huge gala, all kinds of celebrities and, you know, important people coming and be with the devotees to celebrate. And a lot of what we're celebrating, of course, is Srila Prabhupada. It's not just a matter of an incorporation, like, you know, that's just sort of a managerial thing or a legal thing, having incorporated in society, but what this actually means in terms of Srila Prabhupada coming to the West and spreading Krishna consciousness. So a very, very important time for us. Just want to say a couple of things here about Chandanyatra. And one of the most famous stories that actually Lord Chaitanya told to Lord Nityananda and the other devotees, he was telling them about the glories of Madhavendra Puri. And some of that involves sandalwood. So I will read this. Srimadavendra Puri installed the deity of Sri Gopal, or Lord Krishna, atop Govardhan Hill in the holy Dham of Vrindavan. Following the installation, he fervently worshipped the Lord with various paraphernalia, supported by the unwavering dedication of the devotees of Vrindavan. One hot summer day, Sri Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and instructed him to smear his body with sandalwood paste to alleviate the heat. The Lord asked him to bring Malaya sandalwood from Jagannath Puri. Upon this request, Madhavendra Puri immediately set out for Puri on foot. By the way, for those of you who may or may not know, this is several hundred miles from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, but probably 800 miles, something like that. It's a long way. Anyway, upon reaching Jagannath Puri, he informed the devotees of Lord Jagannath about the desire of Sri Gopal. Lord Jagannath's servant and other devotees gathered sandalwood to fulfill Madhavendra Puri's request. On his way back to Vrindavan, Madhavendra Puri visited Sri Gopinath Temple in Rimuna after receiving the sandalwood. After having the darshan of the Lord, he decided to stay in the temple for a day. While resting at night, once again, Sri Gopal appeared to him in a dream. He explained that he and the Sri Gopinath deity were non-different and ordered him to apply sandalwood paste to him. By doing so, Sri Gopal's body would also be cooled down. Madhavendra Puri followed the order and smeared Lord Gopinath's body with sandalwood pulp. Subsequently, upon his return to Vrindavan, he faithfully applied the paste to Sri Gopal. This devotional act of Madhavendra Puri exemplifies his intense feelings of love for the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated this story to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees and praised the devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. Gaudiya Vaishnavas commemorate this pastime through Chandan Yatra. To date, devotees at ISKCON temples, as well as many temples in Vrindavan, smear the deity with sandalwood paste during the summer. Okay. Now, the thing that I want to talk about, which I think is something that is very, very important, is the founding of ISKCON, the 60th anniversary of it. It's one of these days. It doesn't want to cooperate. Let's see. Ah, here we go. This is a little, I'm doing this for amusement up here. Yeah. That's okay. Okay, good enough. Okay, here we are. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness was legally incorporated July 13th, 1966. So to stress the importance, we are celebrating the 60th anniversary throughout the month of July. And as I said, it'll end in this huge celebration at the end of the month in New York City. In 1976, interestingly enough, it was the 10th anniversary, and I was in Potomac, Maryland, where Srila Prabhupada was visiting in 1976. So that was the 200th anniversary of the United States, and here we were in Washington, D.C., in Potomac, Maryland. And this year, of course, is the 250th anniversary, July 4th, and is the 60th anniversary. But we in Potomac, we celebrated this, the 10th anniversary. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was there in the temple room, and we brought him in this huge cake, you know, to celebrate the anniversary. It was kind of an interesting story, because I remember the devotees handed him the knife to cut the cake. Now, that's a little bit odd. I mean, usually you wouldn't ask your spiritual master, you know, here's some utensils, you know, serve me some cake. That was the, of course, in America, the custom is that, you know, the guest of honor, say if it's your birthday, you cut the first slice. Hey, it's an American custom. Prabhupada just went along with it, you know. He said, oh, all right. And so you know, whatever we told him, yeah, okay, I'll cut it. Anyway, it was a very nice, and it really implanted in all of our minds at that time that Srila Prabhupada took this as a very important thing. And years later, it is noted on the Vaishnava calendar. So why is this important? ISKCON is more International Society of Krishna Consciousness, or abbreviated as ISKCON, I-S-K-C-O-N, is more than just another religious society. It is a vehicle used by Srila Prabhupada to disseminate Krishna consciousness throughout the world. His society was extremely important to him, and our love for Prabhupada also extends to maintaining and expanding his preaching movement. I want to read one verse in purport today, as we usually do. This one is from Adi Lila 69. Imate bangera lokera kaila mahahita, namadiya bhakta kaila parana pandita. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contributed to the greatest benefit to the people of East Bengal by initiating them into Harinam, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and making them learned scholars by educating them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and inducing people all over the world to chant. We are giving people an immense treasure of transcendental literature, translated into all the important languages of the world, and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this literature is selling profusely, and people are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with great delight. This is the preaching process of the Chaitanya movement. Since the Lord wanted this preached all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting in a humble way so the vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be fulfilled all over the world, especially in the Western countries. And just one more quick verse, Adi 9:18, talking about the branches of the Chaitanya tree, how his disciples started different groups and movements all over the world, these different branches developed. And Prabhupada says, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So that's a very important thing. Srila Prabhupada is saying, in other words, we are one of those aspects. We are one of the groups coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of so many wonderful spiritual masters, acharyas, great saints and sages that have come before us in our disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. So it's not just a material organization, or it's not just a religious or an ecclesiastical organization, and certainly ISKCON is not just a management structure. It's a branch of the Chaitanya tree and thus spiritually empowered. It's a vehicle used by Srila Prabhupada to disseminate Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And Prabhupada considered ISKCON as the same as an extension of himself. He often said, ISKCON is my body. So in his books, purports, International Society or ISKCON is mentioned hundreds of times. It's something that he referred to, and this was very, very important to him. And we're going to discuss a little bit about the purposes by which he inaugurated or incorporated this society. So I want to talk a little bit about the mood of a pure devotee, a great saintly personality like Srila Prabhupada, in organizing legal dealings like this. It might seem a little odd. We might ask, why would a guru or a holy person be involved in a management activity like this? It seems kind of material, getting lawyers, drawing up papers, making a legal society, things like that. But actually, in our historical context of our sampradaya, this is not at all uncommon. In fact, we see that in our sampradaya, our past gurus and past acharyas often dealt in ways to help preserve the society of devotees and help to execute the mood and the whole movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Uttamakari, or the topmost devotee, is on a spiritual position. He's situated in pure love of God or Krishna Prema. But it's described that for the purposes of preaching, he almost descends to the Madhyam or the middle form. In other words, he can't just be basically, you know, all day just being in ecstasy thinking of Krishna. Why? Because there are so many fallen souls. There's so much work to do, and this was his mission. Srila Prabhupada was sent here by Krishna not just to be a holy man, but to enlighten the Western world and ultimately the whole world in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So he had to do many practical activities. And in fact, this is something that we see in our different acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, and he organized the Gaudiya Math in India, and he established over 64 temples. He was very, very interested, not just interested, he was absolutely dedicated to printing books, spiritual treatises, And of course, those of the very, very highest nature, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And thus he established printing presses. There was four different printing presses throughout India that Bhaktisiddhanta established. And after his departure, he didn't appoint a single successor. He actually appointed, for the purposes of management, a governing body commission of 12 people. But his followers never did that. That's a whole other story, but they actually disobeyed that and just ended up fighting over the properties. So that is the material aspect. That's a materialistic way of looking at property, legal things like that, something to fight over to get, saying, I want the best rooms or I want the best property. That's not what the pure devotees are interested in. They're interested in the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is enunciated by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, and it means that one utilizes everything for the purpose of Krishna, everything to serve the Lord. So everything we see in this material world, this material energy, can be utilized. When it's used to serve Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. And that is what Srila Prabhupada wanted to do. He wanted to use all of these different mechanisms that he could, whether it be using cars or whether, you know, whatever it might be, using a legal system of incorporating a society, you know, to try to increase Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was before Bhaktisiddhanta, actually his father, he wrote books, he established temples. In fact, he established what was called Namahata, little groups of devotees in different places. And he called this the marketplace of the holy name. And it was very strange, but he sort of patterned it after how you would organize a sales organization. Now, that seems kind of like, you know, but this was for the purpose of utilizing a system to be able to spread Krishna consciousness throughout all the villages around his area in India. I also want to mention Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was one of the six Goswamis, direct followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the youngest, and after the others left, he was sort of head of all of the Vaishnavas. And he was known for his deeply philosophical works, such as the Satsandarbhas, and also his works filled with great prema and rasa, like Gopal Champu. But he also organized preaching. He organized the Sankirtan parties. He printed in those days, I think, meant scribe, you know, handwritten on palm leaves or something, or some kind of leaves, books. And then he sent his topmost devotees off to Bengal and Orissa to distribute these books and preach Krishna consciousness. So he was also involved in temple construction, and he took care of Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda. And he actually was the first one to really legally protect the temples. He actually had wills, made sure that there were wills drawn out and that all the temples were protected so, you know, they would continue to be served in the best possible way by devotees in the future. So at any rate, this is important that we pay attention not only to the most lofty spiritual ideals, but also we have to take care of those things around us. We have to take care of the material energy and use it for Krishna's service. So when we do that, it makes everything auspicious. I'm going to read a little bit from the Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita by Satsrup Das Goswami Maharaj. And this is about the actual time in 1966, how it was incorporated. We shall call our society ISKCON. Prabhupada had laughed playfully when he first coined the acronym. He had initiated the legal work of incorporation that spring while still living in the Bowery. But even before its legal beginning, he had been talking about his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so it appeared in his letters to India and in the Village Voice. A friend has suggested a title that sound more familiar to Westerners, called the International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada had insisted, Krishna Consciousness. God was a vague term, whereas Krishna was exact and scientific. God consciousness was spiritually weaker and less personal. And if Westerns don't know that Krishna is God, then it is our purpose to tell them and spread his glories in every town and village. But to register ISKCON legally as a non-profit tax-exempt religion requires money and a lawyer. Carl Jurgens contacted his lawyer, Stephen Goldsmith. One evening, having completed all the legal groundwork and having been ready to complete the procedures for incorporation, Mr. Goldsmith came to Prabhupada's lecture in Kirtan to get signatures from the trustees for the new society. Now, you have to remember at this point, the only thing that there was one little storefront in New York City where Srila Prabhupada was lecturing and held in Kirtan. That's all there was. No other temples, anything. Anyway, at the end of the lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask anything." Mr. Goldsmith stands, and to the surprise of the people gathered, he makes a short announcement asking for signers of an incorporation document for the Swami's new religious movement. Prabhupada said, "They are present here. You can take the addresses now." As the meeting breaks up, those called on to sign as trustees came forward, standing around the little storefront, waiting to leaf cursorily through the pages the lawyer produced from his thin attaché, and to sign as he directs, yet not a soul among them is really committed to Krishna consciousness. The first trustees who hold office for a year until the first annual meeting of the corporation are Michael Grant, that's, of course, Mukunda Goswami, who puts down his name and address without ever reading the document, Michael's girlfriend, Jan, and James Green. I'm not sure what James Green is. No one seriously intends to undertake any formal duties as trustees of a religious society, but they're happy to help the Swami by signing his fledgling society into legal existence. None of them really know exactly what the legal pages and type pages mean, except that Swamiji's forming a society. But Prabhupada is planning for the future, and he's planning for much more than just tax exemptions. He's trying to serve his spiritual predecessors and fulfill the scriptural prediction of a spiritual movement that is to flourish for 10,000 years in the age of Kali. So within this vast Kali age, a period of 432,000 years, the 1960s are but an insignificant moment. The purpose stated within ISKCON Articles of Incorporation revealed Prabhupada's thinking. There were 7 points similar to those given in the prospectus for the League of Devotees he formed in Jhansi, India in 1953. This was much more than just incorporating an organization. It reflects the beginning of spreading of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement out of India and throughout the world. When you incorporate a corporation, even a religious corporation, I've recently done a couple of these myself, you really use kind of a boilerplate, you know, that fulfills all the legal criteria, and then you put a small place for the purposes of the organization, which is something like to commit religious or charitable works, you know, just something that's good to be like anything. In fact, I was filling out one thing today, and they limited the purposes to 250 characters, which is about 3 lines. So you get about 3 lines to actually say what's the purpose of what your organization is doing. But Prabhupada's was very different. He'd obviously reflected on the mission and had a practical plan to implement. So his 7 purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which were part of that original incorporating document, are very, very important and very illuminating and really tell us what Srila Prabhupada was thinking and what his plan for the future was. The first one was to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and achieve real unity and peace in the world. So this is the way they start. I don't think I'm going to read them all. Let's be kind of long here. But the purposes reveal a couple of different dimensions of things that Prabhupada is thinking. First of all, they cover the ideas of preaching and educating society, the missionary activities of ISKCON. But they also talk about providing for the spiritual needs of devotees, about bringing the members together and having places for the members to come and to increase their Krishna consciousness together. So he wanted to teach the world how to live happily through spiritual knowledge. He had a radical vision to change the world, actually. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11. That literature was full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. Of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lies of this world's misdirected civilization. That's one of my favorite quotes. In fact, this was something that Prabhupada stressed to all of us over and over again. this idea of going out and giving this Krishna conscious movement to everyone. In my initiation letter in 1972 that Srila Prabhupada wrote to us, he said, there was like three or four of us were getting initiated at a time. He said, "So you are all intelligent boys and girls. Therefore, my request to you is you study the science of Krishna consciousness and solve all of the problems of the world by systematic propaganda as far as you're able to do so." So that's what Prabhupada asked me to do, is, you know, solve all the problems of the world. I'm still working on it. But as far as you're able to do, in other words, he gave us a little bit of out. But the idea was that Prabhupada was convinced this is the solution to the problems of the world. If we can get these books out, get this education to people so they can understand this higher philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, obviously, one of the big activities that he had, that he and his disciples did, was the writing, translating, which Prabhupada did, and then the production, printing, and distribution of thousands and millions of books on transcendental literature. So I don't know what we're up to. 500-600 million books have been published throughout the world. Anyway, it's a pretty amazing total. So he wanted to teach devotion to Krishna through the Vedic scriptures. And one of the things that he said in purpose number two was to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. So he specifically mentioned this. In other words, this movement isn't based upon somebody's, you know, idea, or somebody had some new revelation and decided, "I'm God now and I'm telling you my new truth." No, this movement would be rooted in the deepest, most profound, and oldest philosophical tradition of the world. And therefore, it was rooted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these wonderful Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita, of course, spoken directly by Lord Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam, which is all about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So this was very, very important. In fact, in every one of our temples throughout the world, practically, we have Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. We used to always have Bhagavad Gita class at night, but those have fallen off a little bit in most places. We don't have so many people available, but these books have always been stressed throughout our movement. His point number four was to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is absolutely critical and was written there in the purposes. One of the main purposes is to spread this chanting everywhere, just as we have this wonderful kirtan here in the temple, and we can go out on, I was thinking, we go out to 13th Street, right, on Friday night. Does anybody know how many years the temple's been doing that? I came here about 20 years ago and they were doing it, so I mean, I don't know how long the tradition. From 74? I have a photo of 1970. 74, okay. So this has been like 50 years, you know, that this has been going out and chanting the holy names of the Lord, which is totally beneficial to the whole world. Anyone who even hears the holy name of God is benefited. You actually gain spiritual benefit and spiritual advancement by hearing the holy name. What to speak of course, actually chanting the holy names of God. And so that is something that was always emphasized, and Prabhupada wanted this to be always part of his movement. Publication of books, the chanting of the holy name, but also he wanted a place for devotees to come. Because once you have devotees, what do you do with them? I mean, okay, there's a devotee, but they have to come somewhere. They have to come together, and we have to actually have a place where we can care for one another and help one another to advance in Krishna consciousness. So he also talked about bringing the members together to worship Krishna and to establishing temples throughout the world. And also, he said, the prime entity, developing India within the members and humanity at large, and each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. So we come together, and our relationships are really based around Krishna. It's based around the fact that each one of us is a part and parcel of God. Krishna is, you know, the father, the mother, everything, the guru, it's described, you know. So he's the all-giving, sea-giving father to all mankind, then obviously then we are, that is what is real brotherhood. Without being brotherhood or sisters, that's why, because we have the common parent of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when people come together understanding that, then there is naturally, it's a family relationship, a spiritual relationship there amongst the society devotees, or at least it should be. If it isn't, then we need to look at how we can make it more like that. Okay. So he wanted to develop temples, he wanted to develop places of pilgrimage. He also talked about one of his purposes, number six, was to teach simple living and high thinking. Prabhupada actually wanted to establish not just city preaching, but also an agrarian way of life, establishing cow protection and simple living, self-sufficiency, all of these things which he thought were very important for a more natural way of life. You know, so the two things are there together. And his farm projects were right there from the beginning. In 1968, he established New Vrindavan and so many other farm projects after that. So that was also a very important part of his mission. Okay. So through ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada created a spiritual society and a spiritual community. And I was just thinking when I came here this afternoon and I was listening to the kirtan and seeing all the devotees filling the temple room and these absolutely incredible, beautiful deities and the amount of love and devotion and work that's been put into the care of them, I think Srila Prabhupada would be very happy that his movement is still going on so nicely like this 60 years later. You know, because the truth is that many movements, in fact, many religious movements that are established, most of them don't even make it this long, 50 or 60 years. You know, so the fact that we are here and we are growing and hopefully getting better, and still we have so much to give and we have so much and Krishna's mercy is so much there for all of us. So I think we can be very, very happy to think about Srila Prabhupada establishing a society where we can all take shelter. And that we can also help take this movement, take these teachings to everyone else. I mean, ultimately, we do want the world to become Krishna conscious. You know, may not happen in my lifetime or your lifetimes, but, you know, this is what we want to see. We want to see everybody have the opportunity to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to become free from the suffering of this material world. And that is really what it's all about. Prabhupada came here, an elderly man, 70 years old, by himself, with what was the equivalent in rupees of $7 is what he had when he got off the boat in Boston. Why? Compassion. It was Prabhupada's compassion. And also, one other thing, I've been reading Lilamrita again. He had tremendous dedication to the order of his spiritual master and the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who told him to preach to the English-speaking world in 1922. And he meditated upon that order for 40-some years till he was able to do so. You know, so we have so much gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada establishing this movement, bringing Krishna consciousness to us, and also just being so grateful now that so many devotees are coming, that we have all this wonderful association of all of you here together. Okay, I'll stop there. All right. Hare Krishna. Glories to Prabhupada. Any questions or comments?
Any reflection?
Panchagoda in the back.
Although we like dhotis, kurtas, and shaved heads, and Prabhupada brought a culture, he wasn't so, like, you know, insisting on the dhoti, kurta, shaved head. And sometimes people would question, you know, well, why you shave your head and why you look so funny? And it maybe eclipses the philosophy. They get more absorbed in the externals. So how much should we emphasize the cultural presentation from the philosophical presentation of Krishna consciousness?
Hmm. Interesting question. We have another hour here. There is purpose in it, and Prabhupada did appreciate the dress of the devotees. There was a certain surrender to it. Also, Prabhupada said it's like wearing a uniform, or that somebody knows that you are a devotee. In other words, you know, that you present yourself in that way. You know, so in most societies, in a more civilized society, people say, oh, who is somebody who has spiritual knowledge for me? Oh, that person, I can tell by the way they're dressed. Of course, you can't really always tell by the way a person's dressed. But ultimately, we're interested in the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping Krishna, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. You know, the basic practices of Krishna consciousness is what Srila Prabhupada gave us. And it wasn't absolutely rigid. Sometimes Prabhupada would say you could wear it. But one thing, Prabhupada didn't like us to wear sloppy clothing, you know. He would say, like, if someone's going to go out and represent another devotee, he said, if you're not going to wear a devotional dress, then wear like a man, a suit and tie, you know. In other words, look like a proper gentleman or proper ladies. So that was kind of the mood. But I don't think we should worry too much about it. The main issue is chanting the holy name, taking prasadam, hearing this transcendental philosophy.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all right. Okay.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hi. Just
a little comment to the story about the cake. First of all, I was there, and I remember being charmed that Prabhupada cut out a square piece from a round cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But later, hearing, and I don't recall who spoke it, I don't remember if it was the same day or the next day, but I overheard and was told that Prabhupada was not very happy about the fact that he cut a piece of cake and was serving the devotees, that it wasn't very nice.
That he did what? I'm sorry. I didn't catch what you...
That Prabhupada was not very happy about the fact that the act of cutting the cake, he had been serving his disciples.
Oh, yeah.
And that that was not appropriate etiquette.
Oh, it was totally inappropriate. But he did. I was there too. But he did appear to be a good sport, and he just went along with it.
Oh,
he didn't say anything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me that Prabhupada took every opportunity to instruct us.
Yeah, absolutely. There were so many instructive things in that Washington D.C. Visit. That's good for a. Appearance or disappearance day. A lot of good stories there. Yeah. Anything else? Who else? Ganga Narayan over here.
You were mentioning about Srila Prabhupada's managing, and even though he was a sannyasi, he took that responsibility of managing and creating a management structure. But actually, he's in a line of managers because his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava, managed all the Gaudiya Math temples before the Gaudiya Math broke up. And he was very fond of Bhakti Pragyan Keshava. There's a 12-minute thing in the lectures where when Bhakti Pragyan Keshava left his mortal body, he sent a letter of condolence and had all his disciples sign it. And you can hear in the thing that he broke down and cried at the end of that 12-minute segment. So his sannyas guru set an example, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was very, very pleased with Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj for his service of management.
Hmm. Thank you. Anyone else?
of the seven purposes, the first three words are really profound, to systematically propagate. So he's very systematic. And all of those 7 points, back then in 1966, he was just struggling. There wasn't anything, but it's like he's seeing the future. He already
had his vision of the future, yes.
He had the whole framework already in his mind, and he just laid it all out there on those seven purposes
so succinctly.
So succinctly, when you read those seven purposes, there's no extra words in there.
They're really wonderful. In the 50th anniversary, it was also, you know, a big year, and 10 years ago, and I remember I did a couple seminars on the seven purposes, and I decided not to spend a lot of time on them. I thought I might lose my audience, you know, here a little bit, but they are very, very incredible. Prabhupada's writing was always like that. We know from his books and his purports how precise Prabhupada was. He said what he wanted, what he meant. He made it clear, and he was very clear in legal things. I'll tell you another similar story. I was told by some of the devotees who were part of the BBT, and I mean, when Prabhupada went to incorporate the BBT, the lawyer that they worked with told the devotees, he says, I've never had a client who was so clear on exactly what he wanted and how to do it. In other words, Prabhupada was, he was gifted in so many areas. It wasn't the most important thing, you know, I mean, obviously, but it was just amazing to see how Prabhupada, you know, was just guided by Krishna, obviously, to just, you know so many things and how to do things. And he had this way of expressing it. They used to put the seven purposes in the Bhakti Godhead, didn't they? I don't think they are anymore, but they used to be. I mean, they're very, very important because they really give us an idea of what Srila Prabhupada was thinking, what his mission and his movement should be, and really is. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I just was going to add, a few months ago, Mahatma gave a really great class on Prabhupada. This way? Okay. And he gave a class, and he was talking about that this movement of Prabhupada's is a movement of compassion and empathy. And it really hit home for me because, you know, sometimes we get a little frustrated with people. We get frustrated with ISKCON. Maybe we get a little frustrated in a parking lot. But we have to remember who we are, why we're here. We're getting a lot of mercy that we even get to be here. But there's so many people, and we have to go out there with empathy. We have to convince them, oh, come visit us. Oh, here, read this. You know, I keep thinking like, you know, we miss that goal sometimes of empathy and compassion. And I know, I do. I get easily frustrated. But I thought it was good that he said that. I've been going back in the archives looking for that class. And I just thought it was really powerful that he said that about Prabhupada's mission being compassion and empathy, and how important it is. You know, especially in today's world, I see it a little bit. I won't go off. You know, people complaining about other people who aren't white, maybe, or people being in America, or people whatever. And I'm like, did I miss something? Did I miss something in the 70s? I thought we were not these bodies. I thought we were supposed to care about everybody. I thought everybody was equally important.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like I'm teaching a college.
And Prabhupada always emphasized that. About how, in fact, he would even be criticized sometimes by people in India about the American devotees that he'd bring over, and he just said, no, look, they are chanting Hare Krishna, they are genuine, bona fide. You know, we're hearing about, right, Gopal Prabhu, who just passed away. He was in prison in Mayapur for quite a while because they thought he was part of the CIA. So, yeah, this in all sides, there's always been these kind of misunderstandings, and we have to be very clear that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have always emphasized that Krishna consciousness for everyone in the world, no distinctions. Right. Any other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu, I'm sorry. Up here, he's been waiting actually to speak. Up here. Oh. Sorry, in the front.
Thank you, Prabhu, for very nice class. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is something on the philosophical thoughts. Like, let's say, if you are in a situation of a war, right? And if you are winning a war, then, you know, everybody appreciate your leadership. You know, yes, we are winning the war. Everything is going good. Everyone is happy. But sometimes, you know, you're not in a situation where it looks like you are winning a war. And then, you know, everybody has different thoughts. Okay, let's do this, let's do this, let's do that. So, you know, similarly in ISKCON also, you know, a group of devotees, they have different ideas. Everybody wants to serve Prabhupada. But sometimes we feel and see certain areas, you know, it's not going in the right direction, or we don't feel that it's really propagating in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks, okay, yeah, we are in the mood of Prabhupada, we are helping Prabhupada. You know, you think that everybody is, yes, they are on the right thought, but they are not really aligned with the leadership. So, and then you see that, yeah, leadership is also not very strong because, you know, we are not really going the right direction. You know, those situations when you get confused, really, what is the right thing to do?
Yeah. What we have to remember is, again, ISKCON is not a material organization. It's a spiritual movement. And sometimes I've heard devotees say things like, well, you know, I love Krishna, I love Prabhupada, but I'm not very interested in ISKCON or something. No, it's not that ISKCON is not the management, you know. There are people, who, you know, there is a management structure, you know, within ISKCON that Prabhupada set up as a GBC, but that's not the essence of it. That's how it's managed or how it's organized or how it's run. But the essence is the spiritual movement of Lord Chaitanya, one of the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree, moving forward. And Prabhupada said there will be disagreements. I mean, there, you know, some people think this, some people are going to think this, and, you know, that's natural that that's going to be there. We should do the best we can to try to cooperate together, to work together, not to unnecessarily, you know, cause differences or cause dissension, and because it usually a lot of criticism doesn't do a lot, rarely does it do much good. You know, usually you can accomplish more in a spirit of cooperation and induce people through good argument if you think it should be done a better way or a different way. Right. Okay. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Don't forget to take a mango with you.